welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Anders Schmant, and with me as always is Kush.
Hello.
And Rich is back with us again.
Sometimes with you, yes. How are you guys doing?
The sad thing is Rich tried to be with us last week, but we could not get Call Burner to work, and it was just going to be a Rich and me show, but yeah, that was a freaking nightmare.
That was a kerfuckle.
Rich is the kind of guy that you're like, I never see that guy angry until you see him mess with electronics, and then it's like he loses his shit.
Yeah, I do.
So
that's why we didn't tell him to get his camera ready.
You know, the funny thing is when Rob first called in, it gave me the option to get the camera. So I clicked it and nothing. I think it's the bandwidth thing.
I don't. Yeah, because
it works for the other show. It just doesn't work for this show. So it's something to do with that.
That's Rob's fault.
I don't think it's my fault. But anyway,
here.
Yeah, Rich is here. And we're going to delve right into some stuff. And you guys have been playing The Wolf Among Us Episode 3. Before you guys talk about that, just remember, I just finished 2. I haven't started 3 yet. So try to keep this as spoiler-free as possible, of course.
So this is going to be real short.
Yeah. It's more goodness. The one thing I will say is that I don't know if it was, but it felt a lot shorter than the previous 2 episodes.
Yeah, I kind of got that feeling too.
I didn't have a problem with that, but it just felt a bit short.
And you know, some of the reviews I've been reading on this, they're hailing this as the best one yet. I don't know. I think they've all been pretty damn good.
And I think the first one still stands out just because of the shock of the end, even though they kind of erased all of that in the second episode.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Which I kind of expected. But it's more good stuff.
As soon as I seen what had started going on in episode 2, I kind of knew who was behind that. Or not the actual thing, but who was paying for that. That was pretty cool. So, but
definitely as a series, though, compared to The Walking Dead. I haven't played any of season 2 of The Walking Dead yet, but the first one, The Wolf Among Us, is very just sort of just choose your own adventure. It's not really like, here, we're going to give you a lot of tough situations that require you to press buttons fast or do this stuff. Those are very minimal. It's mostly just, here, have this bit of dialogue, maybe search around this room for some clues, whatever. It's much more adventure gamey, like classic, you know, point-and-click adventure, than something that's trying to be more of a hybrid. Which I prefer, because play like all those action sequences in The Walking Dead or whenever it tried to be more of a game, I did not like those. Yeah. They're not fun. Shooting zombies by pointing a cursor over the head and then pressing the trigger. It's like, oh, yeah, I feel like a badass. No, I don't. I feel like a moron.
I actually had picked up the season pass on PS3 after I had played the first part on Xbox, and that's the reason why I'm an episode behind, is because this week I was like, I'm going to go ahead and start The Walking Dead, Wolf Among Us again on the PS3, and I got through the first 2 chapters, and I was going to go do the third, but then my PS4 came back. So, you talk about the aiming with the cursors and stuff like that. There's a lot of that in the first episode of Wolf Among Us.
Yeah, well, the first one was a bit heavy on it, but since then it's been barely anything at all. I mean, the first one starts with that opening scene that was just kind of like, oh my god, please don't have a whole bunch of this, and then it settles down. But like that first dealing with the woodsman, that was like, oh my god, if this is what the game's like, I don't want anything to do with it.
Maybe it's psychosomatic, but it seems like I have a less hard time with The Wolf Among Us action stuff than I did the Walking Dead.
Well, I will say, and I don't know if this was the case for The Walking Dead, but I know it is the case in The Wolf Among Us, when you have to, you know, put the cursor over something and then press one of the triggers left or right, even though it tells you, oh, this press right trigger, it doesn't matter if you press the left or right. It doesn't matter. So
Yeah, I noticed that when I was playing it on the PS3, because for some reason I have never had a trouble with right trigger and left B and RB, but for some damn reason I can't get through my head left one and left two and right one and right two, and I've never had.
I think part of it is because, though I think it's different on the PS4 controller, I haven't used one in a while, but like with the PS3 and PS2, the L1 and L2 and R1, R2, they're more similar buttons. They're not as mm-hmm. different as the Xbox 360 controller, which has, you know, it's these bumpers are a lot thinner, and they're very different than triggers, which are triggers.
Yeah.
So.
Makes a lot of sense.
But anyway, Wolf Among Us, it's damn good, and I do like a lot better than The Walking Dead. I've played the first episode of Walking Dead Season 2, and I haven't gone back. I don't think it was a smart choice to go with her as the character.
Yeah, me neither. I lost interest.
So, I don't know. Did you play the second episode of Season 2?
No. You just
lost interest after the first
one? Yeah. After Lee died, I was kind of like, I'm interested in playing a little kid. That's what it all boils down to.
Yeah. All right. So, that's A Wolf Among Us. Let's get to what I have been playing. I've got my PS4 back finally. That was a kerfuffle. And there's nothing worse than waiting on UPS or FedEx to come and then knowing that there's a 30-minute gap between when you leave and somebody else comes home. And you just know that's when your fucking shipment will show up. And that's exactly what happened Wednesday night. And I was furious. But...
Isn't it always that way?
and I was like, it was so angry. I was like, I just wish I could have signed for it digitally, but I tried to, but it won't let you, apparently it won't let you sign for it digitally unless, I could be wrong. I don't know. I was trying to find out. Yeah, I could sign for it digitally after they tried to make the first attempt. But before that, it was like, they wouldn't let me, it was like grayed out or for some reason. I don't know. I was just annoyed by it, but I got my, got my PS4 back, and I played some Mercenary Kings, and I loved this game on the PC, and I had to kind of start it back over from the beginning, of course, and I'm not feeling it as much with the PS4 controller as I did with the 360 controller on the PC, and I don't know what it is.
It's a better controller.
Well, that's true, but it's just, I don't know, there's something about it, and it could be that I had played enough Mercenary Kings where I had upgraded my weapons and stuff, so I wasn't having to... The reload is what's weird. I think the reload is what's throwing me off, is because on the PS4 controller, you shoot with, you know, your one of your buttons, one of your face buttons, but the reload is R1. And it really is a difference. It shows the kind of difference in the controllers, because R1, I'm always used to hitting that on the... or not R1, but RB, the right bumper on the Xbox 360 controller. But it's just a weird placement on the PS4 controller to use the face button and then have to hit that to reload.
It's also a softer touch. The bumpers are clicky. And L1, R1, those are just really soft. It's a very different kind of contextual feeling.
Well, I mean, I guess the reload, what I'm saying about the reload too, is it does the active reload time thing like Gears of War does.
Yeah.
And I for some reason, I don't know, I guess maybe because Gears of War, you were shooting with the right trigger, so it wasn't that hard to pop up and do the RB. But I don't remember, like I said, I don't remember having any of the issues on the PC version when I had to reload. So it's kind of weird. But
I think part of it is probably also the fact that you've already played the game and it starts off really slow, where you have all your weapons are just weak. You don't have any items to, you know, get new weapons or upgrade things or anything. And just, I mean, Mercenary Kings is a fine game, but it's not, it's really for those people who don't mind grinding and just doing all this crazy. Because it's not like, it's really action heavy. It's not like Metal Slug. It isn't like that. It has a similar kind of style to that or whatever. And you have the shooting, but it's not that action heavy. And it can be super annoying that you go off the screen and then you turn around and all the enemies are respawned.
It's very Mega Man in the way it plays. It just looks more like Metal Slug.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about gathering powers and stuff like that, but I'm just talking about the actual mechanics themselves feel like a Mega Man game.
Yeah.
So even the animations and stuff kind of look like Mega Man when you're on ladders and shooting things and stuff. So
like I don't know if I really want to play it anymore. And I never even finished the first, like, area. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that... I don't know. Because the game I would immediately just jump to, even though they're not that similar, is Rogue Legacy, which is a game mm-hmm. that makes me want to keep playing it. Mercenary Kings doesn't. It's mm-hmm. it's me and my obsessive compulsive nature that would make me keep playing that, not the game itself.
Mm-hmm. I definitely can't wait for Rogue Legacy to come out on PS4 as well.
That's taking too goddamn long. I want it for the Vita. I don't care about the PS4. I want the Vita version, and I want it now.
So I did get to play. I did go ahead and pick up my copy of Final Fantasy XIV: A Realm Reborn on PS4. Basically, if you were in the beta or if you owned the PS3 version, you got to play this weekend for free, and your character actually will transfer over to the real game. And since I already had the PS3 version, I automatically got the PS4 version. So I went ahead and re-upped a month because I played the PS3 version just a little bit. I bought it back; it was on sale for $15. On the PSN store. So to me, this was really good. Just go ahead. And I was like, oh, fuck it. I'll put in $15 and try it. I've already made it to level 16 in a day. So it definitely is a speedy level up process.
Completely solo, or did you team up with
solo. Okay. I've soloed. I've gotten to the areas now where I can do instances with other people. And I've done a few of those where it's got the new World of Warcraft thing where you just, you go to a person and say, hey, I want to do this instance here, and they're like, cool, we'll let you know when we got enough people available, and it'll set up the team for you, and you just boom, pop in there, it'll pop up and say, hey, do you want to go do this? And you're like, yep.
Is it more solo friendly than Final Fantasy XI, which was not solo friendly at all? Okay.
Well, I can't say anything yet because I've been reading up a little bit about it, and it does say that I did hear that it's not as solo friendly after a certain level, but like the first 15 to 20 levels, people are like, yeah, it's easy to solo. But I don't know. I haven't really got past level 16. I'm definitely having a good time playing it. I mean, I've put about 12 hours into it in the last 2 days. So,
looks a lot better PS4.
Oh yes, the graphics look excellent on the PS4. It was very chunky on the PS3. It just kind of chugged a lot, but on the PS4, it's real crisp. They fixed all the when I played the beta originally, I was complaining that everything was really tiny on the screen, all the text and everything. Well, they've put options now where you can take your HUD and expand it out a little bit, and font's bigger. You can actually read things, so it's a really good deal that they've done with it. And you can actually go into your settings and turn the HD, the high HD settings off. So that way, if you're tired of, if it just looks like it's chugging too much at some point, you can turn the HD effects off. So it's not as, chuggy, but that also does something weird where it makes all the font huge. I don't know what the deal with that is. I don't, maybe it's so you can play it on a non HD TV, but that doesn't make any sense because you can't use the PS4 without an HDMI cable, as far as I know. Unless there's an HDMI to something or other cable. Mm. So,
I guess my biggest question would be, is it something you think you're going to want to play for a while? Or
I get really burned out on MMOs quick. And I'm enjoying the grind and everything, and I would love to have more people to play with. And I definitely think if I had more people to play with, doing the instances and stuff like that would be a great time. But to say if I would play this, it's a good time that it hit now. I will say that because mm-hmm. there's nothing coming out to like Watch Dogs that I'm like super excited about. So
right. It's
like it hit at a good time. So I have maybe a good month and a half to play this. And, you know, I was really high on Star Wars The Old Republic too. And I was in love with that game the first week I played it. And then I just kind of got bored with it. But the fact that this is actually on a console and I can play it on my TV and sit in my recliner, that's probably a good thing too. I do recommend that you probably get a keyboard and hook it into your. Well, if you're probably gonna play, you're not gonna pay it on. You don't have a PS4, but if you play it on PS3, I would definitely get a keyboard.
I will get a PS4 if they only allow on PS4 you to change your username. I will buy a PS4 for that stupid reason.
And I'm just waiting for the right game to come along for me for mm-hmm. PS4. I'm sure I'll get one. It's just a matter
what
of
what is the next big exclusive for the PS4? Is it The Order?
Yeah, and that's supposed to be out this year, but nobody's heard anything about it. And the only thing I've heard, like, the stuff I've heard about, that game's not turning out so well early on, so I don't know.
I've never understood the appeal. It's just, it looks like Gears of War.
Oh, I think it looks...
It just looks like Gears of War with, like, whatever, your steampunk, whatever.
I think that's cool. I think that's something you
do. But I guess, you know, I've never been into the whole steampunk thing, so...
Unique, I will give you, cool. I'm just not feeling the art style, to be honest with you. It kind of...
I would say the opposite. Cool, unique, no. Because it's just a game with a different style.
But, anyway, Final Fantasy XIV, Realm Reborn is really cool. I'm having a good time with it. Steven and I are playing on the Femfrit realm. So if anybody wants to join us there. And I'm playing a character named Phaedra Rowood. So
yeah, I saw some of Steven's videos on Facebook.
Yeah. I'm playing a cat girl, so
which is furry. Odd.
Yeah. Which is odd because I've never played the cat girls in Final Fantasy XI. My ex-wife played one. And that's one thing I do like that they did with this game, though. Your starting area is not based on your race. It's based on what your class is. So, like, the classes are... There's, like, 8 different classes that you can start out with, and they're split up into 3 different cities. So there's, like, 2... There's 2 in one city, and there's, like, 3 in the other 2 cities. And and basically the first couple of levels that you're leveling up, you're doing fetch quests and stuff like that in the town. That actually helps you learn the town, learn how to play the game, because it's a huge step for the console. It's been a long time. I originally played Final Fantasy XI on the PS2. That's where I got my start on that game. And so, but playing a true MMO like this on a console, it's really hard to get used to again.
It's reminding me that The Elder Scrolls Online, it came out, right?
It came out on PC.
Oh, okay.
On
PC, yeah. All right. Was it June for the console?
Yeah, okay. That's what I heard, June.
All right, because I was like, I remember just not talking about it. I'm excited about it because it's one of the few MMOs that, you know, going to have controller support. It's coming to consoles. There aren't that many right now. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind trying Final Fantasy XIV, but don't have a PS4. I don't want to play it on PS3. Because
you don't want to play it on PS3.
I played DCUO on PS3 after playing it on PC, and I was like, oh my god, this looks terrible. So I'm sure that'll be the case with Final Fantasy XIV. But I'm excited for it, though. At the same time, I am not excited for it because $15 a month can suck my nuts.
Yeah, that's true. And that's the thing about...
Is Final Fantasy XIV pay?
Yeah, it's pay.
10 or 15?
15. Well, okay. Here's the thing. There's 2 different pay options for Final Fantasy XIV. There's the trial pay version, which gives you 1 character, and it's $11.99 a month, or you can get up to 8 characters for $15 a month. So
that seems weird.
It
seems like it should be a little cheaper. Like it should be.
I agree.
Like $7.99.
If they would get that down to $10 for 1 character, I think they would get a lot of people into the, because something that tells me that, you know, that's, I don't know, I don't think you're going to ever play, like, I couldn't see you playing more than 1 character at a time.
I would never play more than 1 character. I don't know why. I think only nutcases would. I don't see and how you do
the,
that.
Here's the awesome thing about Final Fantasy XIV as well. You can change your class at any time after you hit, like, level 15. You just equip the weapon and talk to the guild, and you suddenly are that class, and you start back over at level 1 with that class.
Does that reset your class progression in your previous one? If you went back to that, you'd still be at where you left it.
Right. All See, right. That's the key to Final Fantasy XIV is that later on, when you can dual class, you get 2 jobs at the same time. So, like, you might have 1 job that's a, like, I'm started out as a, I'm a lancer. I've got the large lance, but let's say I learned some levels there's not a white mage until that's a specialty class that you get later on. It's weird. The classes in Final Fantasy XIV are not based off the main classes of Final Fantasy games in the past. There's no white mage, black mage, but there's a conjurer, which is your healer type. So you could have conjuring levels at some point, and I'm pretty sure you can dual class where you can have a lancer that can cast heal spells. and stuff like that. So, and then, and later on, as well as some of those skills and some of those, your attributes carry over to that class too. So they told me, I was reading online, since I'm playing a Lancer, and the end game for the Lancer is to become a Dragoon. So to become a Dragoon, they tell you that you may want to take about 15 levels in another class called Marauder, and another few classes, and I can't remember what it was, something else. And if you do that, then you have all the good stats for the Dragoon class. And so that's probably what I'll end up doing. And what's really cool, this is the first MMO that I can think of that when you level up occasionally, you get attribute points, and you can enhance your strength and intelligence and stuff like that, depending on what. And I don't remember any MMO doing that. Maybe, I don't know, it's been so long since I know Warcraft never really did that I know of. And I don't think EverQuest or any of those old ones did. So, and I could be wrong, and somebody would be like, you fucking idiot, all of them do it now. But that's just, it's really cool, you can kind of customize your character like that. I'm really impressed with the game. It's amazing to think that this game, when it came out originally, was so shit disaster that they had to re-fucking do the game in like a year.
Yeah.
And they actually turned it into something that people wanted to play. So,
well, it's impressive that they stuck it out. That they didn't just say, forget it, we're moving on to a new Final Fantasy game.
Mm-hmm. My biggest complaint with these MMO Final Fantasy games, though, is I wish they wouldn't make them numbered titles. Because they do not have any of the... They don't really seem to have any of the charm of a Final Fantasy game. They do have a story, but the story so far is just very uninteresting. So, and that's probably the reason why I will get bored of this game, is because I'm just like, I don't give a shit about the story.
Are there Killer Tomatoes?
There probably are. I know there are Mandragos, so there might be Killer Tomatoes.
The hell's a Mandrago?
Mandrago is the little onion people.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, and then the other Final Fantasy game I've been playing is Final Fantasy X HD. Yeah,
been playing that too.
God you know, what's really funny about this game is we all fucking made fun of Final Fantasy 13 for being so linear. Like, there was, when you looked at a map, it was just straight lines. If you look at the map of Final Fantasy 10, it's basically the same fucking thing.
No, it's just a little bit curvy.
It's a little more curvy, but it's still just straight. Yeah. It's like, there's no, like, you know, it's like, oh, you're fucking walking this path. And it's like, oh, well, over here, there might be a path off to the side here that'll take you to a treasure chest, but it's really the same kind of thing. I think that the real selling point for Final Fantasy X is that fucking grid system is so fucking fun to use.
It is.
And every time you level up, you're like, I want to save up a few points to move around the grid, but then you're like, I can't wait because I know I got that next power, that next amount of hit points and stuff like that.
And it makes grinding more palatable too, because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to grind just so I can move around and grid a little more, because I really want to try that power out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you do the classic spear grid, or did you do the expert spear grid?
Well, so the thing is, me and my wife, I'm playing it on the Vita. My wife's playing it on the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a little experiment. So I'm playing it the traditional way. Mm-hmm. My wife is like, she's way more hardcore about Final Fantasy than I am. So she's doing the experimental. And it's definitely a lot different. I'm glad I chose the one I chose. Thomas has got to do a lot more work.
Yeah, apparently they say early on it's like you don't get as many powers, but
no, you don't.
But later on you become just as powerful. It's like you can beat the game with either way, but you may have to grind more with the expert grid. So,
I think another point you're making, how linear Final Fantasy X is. It, for me, it's okay because the story and the characters are so much better in X than 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think. You know, so
I think Final Fantasy 13's story was kind of okay at points, but it's just like it was took so long to get to anywhere that was kind of open, and you felt like you were doing anything.
And the characters, they're just not as memorable in 13 as they are in 10.
Yeah, 10's characters.
Do what? Have you done any of the post any of the post stuff for either game?
No, I haven't. I haven't finished 10 yet. I'm just playing through it now.
Yeah.
I finished 10 in back in like 2002 when it came out here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the last time I had played it. And then I finished 10 too as well. So, and that game has the best fighting system or combat system as well. Is that you got three characters, but you can switch them out at any time. and switch in somebody else. So it's really cool. I think it makes the combats, although it does kind of make the combat slow when you've got the entire wrong party.
Yeah.
When you go into a battle, you're like, fuck, I don't have Waku in here to hit the flying monster, and I don't have Lulu in here to hit the magical mm-hmm. monster. And you're like, and I don't have Orin in here to hit the pierced monster. So I'm like, fuck all this. And then you switch everything out. And then you're like, I got to get Riku in here so she can steal something to see if it's useful. So it's like, and then you're like, gosh, damn, this battle's taking forever. There's no way to speed it up. So, but in a way that makes a lot of that game easy too, is because if you have the right person for that small battle, you'll take that enemy out in one hit.
It's kind of like a puzzle game, you know? It's like, okay, yeah, you this character for this monster, this character for that monster, and then this element for that attack, this element for that attack.
Oh, yeah. And I will tell you this. Do you know the lightning temple area where you got to get try to dodge lightning?
Yeah.
Yeah. I read that, and if you read the trophy for that, it's like dodge 200 bolts. I'm cool.
Right.
And I was like, I didn't know they were consecutive. They had to be consecutive.
That's impossible.
No fucking way.
Dude, you know what's so funny? I tried getting that trophy too, and then I read it. I'm like, what the hell's going on? It's got to be way more. I mean, I just wasted all this time. And
I wasted about 2 hours just dodging lightning bolts. Yeah, I got up to like, and then I got online. And I'm like, people are talking consecutive. I'm like, consecutive, dude. I can barely hit six
That's
in a row.
Insane.
That's impossible.
Exactly.
Have you seen it too?
Some
Kush?
Like ninja
yes,
reflexes.
Because whenever I hang out with my lady friend, all what happens is just sits there and plays this stupid ass game. That's how I know it's not just a straight line. It's a little curvy.
Well, we know what's more important to Chris's girlfriend, his Vita. So.
Right, right.
But anyway.
It's small and compact, and she can take it wherever she wants.
And also I looked online, and apparently it should have been easier to do this, but maybe because of HD latencies and stuff like that on TVs, it's when you hit the button, it's already almost too late. Yeah. So apparently this one guy has a video that shows that there's one area where you can walk into a small circle. And if you get near this one lake, it will always cause a lightning strike to hit you right there. So you can always time that. But to do that for 200 times
is
a nightmare. Yeah. And that he tells you also that you definitely need an item where it takes down the random encounters to zero. Because he's like, because how many times have you fucking came back from a battle and then fucking got struck by lightning?
That's a lot of work for a bronze trophy.
Oh, it's only a bronze? Jesus. That's the cheese.
Yeah, that's what I was like. This is
why I even trying that hard?
Because it sounded like it was easy. You know what I mean?
It's like 2 hours, I'll get this fucking trophy. I'll eat this trophy all day long. But nope, apparently not. The only things that I've kind of played a little bit is I've played more Plants vs. Zombies, and they added a new mode called Gnome Bomb, which is terrible and boring, and I don't give a shit about it, and it isn't worth the experience points to do it. So basically it's, you get this bomb and you place it, and it blows up, and you got to do that 3 times, and the first team that does it 3 times wins. So, but that's it. Rich, what you been playing? Yeah.
Shocker. I've been playing Forza.
Nuh-uh.
A new track came out for free.
Did you have to race all the other tracks 200 times to unlock this track? Did you have to pay for
it? Nope. They just found it in their hearts to give it to us for free, since, you know, the Forza didn't ship as a full game, per se. So Turn 10 slowly but surely been... giving us free tracks. They gave us Road America like a month and a half ago, and now we just got the Grand Prix track at Long Beach, which they're racing at this weekend. So it's kind of a little cross promotion between the game and IndyCar and the Tudor Sports Car Series. So yeah, I've been playing a lot of that. I tell you, man, it's worth the wait. I'm glad that they didn't just put a bunch of the old tracks on here again and just give them an HD facelift. The level of detail, man, on Long Beach is insane. I mean, down to little I was in photo mode, and there's like little things like the manhole covers, like say the city of Long Beach on them. Uh-huh. I mean, they got every little minute detail.
Now, have you actually been to Long Beach?
I haven't actually.
So how do you know it's perfect?
Huh?
How do you know?
Because because I've watched this race for about, I don't know, since I was 8. And
I've been to Seattle, so you know I can actually say that infamous Seattle is not fucking Seattle. Yeah. So
right, it's freaking dead on. I mean, even down to the lighting. I mean, it looks pretty freaking amazing. So I've been playing a lot of that, and outside of Forza, did you guys talk about Buried at Sea?
Burial at Sea,
I meant to say. Yeah.
Kush hasn't played it. I've talked a little bit about it last week. I played a little bit more of it.
I'm playing a little bit. I'm not done with it yet. How far are you without? Have you gone between?
Yes. I did that.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now.
Yeah, that may exactly be where I'm at. I may have came back from there. No,
I haven't come back from there yet.
Yeah, but, I haven't. Yeah. I don't think I have either. But yeah. That's a good tie-in to
lots of little nods to the other games, and I'm enjoying it. I'm not sure. It's kind of cool. I don't think I want to play a whole game as her mm-hmm. per se, but it's a nice change of pace. I'm enjoying that. Have you guys played the Warface beta at all?
I have.
Warface, is this? What is Warface?
It's the free to play one from Crytek.
Yeah. Oh, is it on? What is it on PC?
360.
Oh,
it could be on PC as well. I don't know, but it's on 360.
I guess I don't know anything about this.
What I would say about the game is like it's not an amazing shooter because it's free to play.
It's so competent though.
But what I would say is that this is a perfect example of why that game Recoil Liberation was such a steaming pile of bullshit. That game costs $15. Nobody's playing it ever. I keep meaning to write something, but like, well, actually, I've already written it. I don't know if I want to post it because it just seems too mean. But like, that game is a worthless piece of shit. It plays horribly. It's online only. There's nothing to do by yourself. I mean, at least in the Warframe beta, there are a few tutorials you can play by yourself. Now, of course, tutorials aren't fun to play or anything, but that's still something you can do by yourself. Recoil Liberation can go just shove its dick up its ass.
Okay, but getting back to Warface. I wasn't expecting much considering it's free to play. It's not bad. Yeah. It's nothing like spectacular, but if you're not playing anything else, you don't feel like buying a new game. That's there. That's kind of a
something to go to. Are there more maps than just the one? Because I've only ever played in the one map.
I've only played on the one map, too.
That's it's a beta, but one map just is like, oh, it gets kind of tiring to keep going at it. Continue.
Okay. I think the plan is for them to have they're working on like weapon balance and stuff right now. And then once they kind of get a handle on that, then they'll open up some of the other maps for a little bit and then they'll just launch the game.
Yeah.
Because isn't the game supposed to launch like this summer or something like that?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's just going to be a very soft launch like Gmail or World of Tanks where it's just like, World okay, now Tanks, it's out.
Yeah. Gmail.
But Gmail is always the prime example of beta forever. It's not really in beta. We're just gonna keep saying beta. Then one day we're just gonna remove the beta name. Now it's officially released. Whatever.
Oh, you mean like PlayStation Home?
Yeah.
Man, I'm surprised that never made it to PS4. Not
really.
Well, made them a lot of money. I'm surprised they ended up closing.
I'm sure it'll show up in some.
No, the new PlayStation Home is whatever PlayStation Play. Room where you can just have sex with each other while a digital robot looks at you.
Well, nobody wants to have sex with me, so, you know.
Well, maybe the robot will.
To the wall with you, Robert.
We just killed the show.
A little Game of Thrones reference there, yes. Yeah, we did. Well, anyways, getting back to games, I guess the only other thing I've been playing is that Strike Suit Zero.
You sound real enthused the way that came out of your mouth.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been hungry for like something on the Xbox One.
I played it on PC.
I like the atmosphere. I like the music in it.
It gets hard real fast. The controls
I'm really struggling with, man.
It gets hard. Yeah. Oh, I don't know if it's the same on Xbox One, but on PC, the difficulty amped up like really fast. Like the first round or whatever, because it's an arcade shooter, an arcade space combat game, and it just got really, really crazy.
It did. I was like, holy cow, there's so many ships. What the hell? Boom. And I, you know, every time I blow up, all I can think in my head is $20.
Yeah. The key is, the one I played, the key I found was, you have to really, really get down the whole transitioning between your fighter and then your mech form.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to really get that down because it's...
I don't think I'll be playing. I think I'll just call this one a loss. Because I'm hungry for a space shooter because they don't make them anymore, you know? But yeah, just the level of entry on this is kind of tough. It doesn't intrigue me enough where I want to put the time into it to get good at it, unfortunately.
It's very light
for me
too.
And my wallet.
I don't know if they've added a bunch of content. I think they added some single player things or whatever, but
yeah, they did. They did.
On PC at least, and I don't know if they ever updated that too, but it was pretty bare bones in terms of what they had available. It was just like, oh, you can just keep playing arcade mode. It felt more like a very, like the early fighters, like a Mortal Kombat or something, where there's sort of like you have the arcade mode where you can just keep advancing and going after high scores over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much it, man. I'm caring for this week. My Conception 2 copy comes in on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll probably get that a digital copy on Wednesday. Mm. I haven't played any more of the beta, but I think Kush would freaking love that game.
Conception 2?
Conception 2.
The hell
Vita
is
game.
That?
Well, what's
Conception 1?
Well, Conception
1. It's all about carrying your dick around in a bag.
All right, so Conception 2 is basically like Persona.
What you're banging.
But where's Conception 1?
Conception 1 was I don't think it was ever released here in the States.
Well, this
it was
is,
a Japanese
So this
game.
Is like Goonies 2.
But you don't have to play the first one to understand the second one, I'm pretty damn sure. But, so basically what it is you, it's a dating sim, and the whole idea is that, you play as the God's Gift.
I know that well. Continue.
But you basically, it's they explain it, but in other words, the better acquainted you are with women, you don't have sex with them so much as you put your essence into their essence's womb, and that you create little babies,
and they kind of get naked.
So instead of having sex with them, you just come in your hand and then shove your hand up their vagina.
There's no touching. It's kind of
so
like,
then you gotta like. You're just far away.
It's
and
like
they have,
test tube
they,
babies.
So they just or no touching. They stand back and spread their legs and open up, and then you have to aim while masturbating.
Well, there's a lot of.
I don't
like,
care what you do in your free time with your girlfriend, but that's we don't want to hear. About
these are the. There's a lot of, there's this is how you're explaining the video game. This is exactly what I picture.
There's a lot of situation, but yeah, there's no actual.
But I mean, you basically have to take. You got to talk to these women. And there, by talking to them, you increase their bonds, and the more bonds you have with one, then the more powerful that your offspring will be. And so you have so many offspring that you can take in the battle with you. And they
how
all
much
have
finger
abilities.
Banging is in it? It's a Vita game. You touch them.
All I'll tell you this, Kush, is he's saying there's no touching.
Oh, there is, isn't there? That's right. I haven't gotten that yet.
Yeah, there is definitely touching.
That's right, I forgot
touching,
about that.
Which makes it even creepier, which is the reason I want to play. I'm like, I got to experience this. This is so creepy.
So yeah, there are times when you're talking to somebody and you can stroke their arm or you can grab their breast. I'm pretty sure I've seen that in a video. Yes,
there's jiggly parts in this, man. It's
there you
so
go.
Pathetic. It's
I awesome. Think I found my lady friend's new favorite game.
So yeah, it's coming out on Vita and it's on 3DS too, so... But why anybody would play the 3DS if they had a Vita?
3D, man. Those boobies are all up in your face.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to touch them in 3D because the touchpad and the 3D pad are two different things.
Don't do that. Your video quality is so crappy. It looks ridiculous.
That's what you get when you have a camera from 1992. I don't know.
That's impossible.
But, yeah. So, that's Conception 2. I did pick up Lego The Hobbit. And I played about 30 minutes of it because I was wanting to play Final Fantasy 11. I was waiting for that to download or some shit at the time.
You mean Final Fantasy something else other than
or 11? Or Final Fantasy 14. But, so I can't really say much about it. It looks good on PS4, I'll tell you that.
Man, Lego games make up for a quarter of next-gen, current-gen games.
I know, isn't it funny? Right? But they're still fun.
Movie, I wonder if there's a Lego game to go with it.
Where's Lego point, Hunger Games?
Yeah, Lego Hunger Games. I never did get to go see Divergent. I'm upset about this. But you play anything else, Kush? I don't see anything here, so I'm guessing you didn't.
Nope.
You've been playing board games.
And I mean, the one game I played is my Game Club game, which is for Game Club, so.
Yeah. All right. Movies. Did you go see Captain America, Rich?
Sure did.
All right, so we all three seen this.
Twice.
Huh?
Twice.
You seen it twice? Yep. Wow. I really enjoyed it. I did too. I think it's the best Marvel movie they brought out.
Unquestionably.
Yeah. I liked Avengers okay, but there was lots of parts in Avengers where I was just bored to fucking tears. I was just like, get on with it. And this Captain America, I thought it moved really good.
Yeah. And I really love about it is that it finally made Cap the badass that he is. Especially in the Avengers, they just made him out to be such a bitch of the Avengers. Like, oh, he can barely do anything.
They made
Hawkeye look like a bigger badass than Cap in the Avengers, and it just drove me insane. But now he's actually, like, when he actually hits people, there's impact, like the fact that he is a super soldier, you know, that he's got more power, so he can make people just fling across all the place. Sort of like, every time he hits someone, it's sort of like the ball in a pinball machine hitting something. And the fact that he actually uses his shield to kick ass.
Yeah.
You know, like he's supposed to this whole time. That's great.
Right.
The supporting cast in this movie was pretty good too. Falcon was excellent.
That's what I liked about the movie a lot is that I was expecting, you know, Black Widow and Falcon to be like just throwaway characters. Mm-hmm. And they actually were like fully realized characters.
I was impressed to see what they did with Black Widow, considering that they have not done anything with her in the movie other than make her eye candy, and they actually gave her a little depth and stuff. Like the scene when they're traveling after what happens and they're getting away from Hydra or whatever, and they're driving away and they're talking to each other. I was like, this is really cool. It's real cool character development here. So, and the whole humor stuff, like between the two of them, is like, what about Jan in accounting? After they throw the guy off the roof and shit like that, you're like, man, that's hilarious. But it was definitely a great movie. And although I disagree with everybody that talked about how much this movie would change the Marvel universe forever, because it didn't really change.
I don't know.
Much.
I feel like people are more so talking about how it changes the S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not just that, but I mean, it's like everyone, people who don't follow the comics per se, you know, a big part of the Avengers, that whole universe is S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
And now that S.H.I.E.L.D. is sort of like in shambles, you know, people are like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? You know, Nick Fury's underground. It is kind of a big deal.
Nick Flurry. Well, that's his new name. He changed his name as long, you know, to go with his new sunglasses. I'm no longer Nick Fury.
Nick Flurry was back when Nick Fury was white. That's what they called him, Nick Flurry.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, continue.
Nick Flurry.
Now I want a McFlurry.
I know, right? I'm hungry.
Anyway, Kush, you were getting ready to say something until we made fun of Nick Flurry.
I don't know what I was going to say. I don't think I was actually going to say anything.
Oh, you're just because you're trying to hurry up Nick Flurry. Okay, cool. but yeah, I think it was a excellent, excellent movie, and I definitely... And
the mid-credits scene was great.
Yeah.
Yes.
The after-credits one was whatever. I don't care.
I thought it was pretty cool.
It was fine, but I mean, it's just sort of like, okay, I didn't need to see that because I already...
What's going to happen though? People are like, oh, I don't want to stay after the credits. All the end of the credits to watch a scene. So they started putting them like after the first part of the credits. Now people are going to complain that, well, now I got to stay for two after the credits. So eventually there's going to be a second credit after the first one, like in the middle of the other credits. And then eventually they'll just start putting a third credit in there for all we're going to have a fucking movie to game with.
Or they pass out a flyer after the show as you walk out the door.
This is what happened. This is what it meant.
But it was funny because the first time I saw it with my lady friend, and she's getting upset because there are people after the movie ended. There are people talking. You could hear that they were shocked that the Winter Soldier was Bucky. They're like, "Oh my God, it's Bucky!" And she's getting upset at that. But I don't know. Like,
I don't.
If you don't read comics or any of that kind of stuff, then that makes sense. And she's like, "Oh, I guess that makes sense." But then I'm also saying, "Well, I think it's stupid for anyone not to realize that, because if you saw the previews, it is clearly Bucky. It is clearly the same actor."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why.
Dude, I haven't seen Captain America forever. I couldn't. I mean, I knew it was Bucky, but I didn't think he looked the same when he had the mask up over his face.
I could tell by his eyes alone; it was so clearly the same person.
I don't watch enough TV to see that, so.
But yeah. But it was very, very good.
Actually, did you guys actually watch the S.H.I.E.L.D. tie-in?
I don't think Cush even watches the show anymore, do you?
I'm like two episodes behind.
Okay.
So I feel I've kept watching it because TV in general has been pretty shitty.
Okay. I think it's getting better.
Yeah, I've always said it's okay, but I don't feel like it's ever gotten good.
I tell you what, man, with the addition of Bill Paxton.
He's still on the show?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's adding something to the show.
Because that was the last episode I watched, his first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't ruin the newest episode. But I will say this, one of my favorite episodes was the one where Lady Sif or whatever was in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they had Lady Sif, and it was like, oh, this actually feels like it ties.
Yeah, they're starting to try to get real villains and stuff in there. Like, Deathlok is actually a Marvel villain, and the people were complaining when that show started because they're like, well, that guy, they said his name at the very beginning, well, that's a character in Marvel, and he becomes Deathlok, but he didn't have super abilities, you know. And I've been telling Sean he needs to watch the show because they've changed all that. He becomes,
oh yeah, he's definitely Deathlok now.
So but yeah, I like the show. You know, I'm real interested to see what they're doing with Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's definitely somebody, something. Somebody mm-hmm. said that she may be part Kree, is something, one of the rumors I've heard. And so that's Miss Marvel was part Kree as well, so that could be something. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm kind of interested to see what's going on with that character in the show.
Arrow's still a billion times better.
Oh, Arrow's way better. That last episode, man. Really?
I'm starting to lose it. Arrow's just starting to feel more like a soap opera to me.
Yeah. Oh, that fucking last episode. His world is fucked up now.
I haven't seen the last one.
Oh, you need to watch that one, dude.
Yeah.
There was a couple episodes, you're right. There's a couple episodes in there that were kind of... That Suicide Squad episode, I didn't care much for.
It could have been so much better. I thought. I was a little disappointed with it.
But I think you need to watch that last episode, because it...
Okay.
They... Kind of... When is it, like, in not the next episode, but the episode after that, when the Flash is coming back?
I don't know.
Because I need that.
You need that?
I do.
Other television shows, Game of Thrones has come back.
Yes, it has.
So, did you watch that? You guys, both you guys watch it?
Yep.
Okay, so it's definitely an episode where they're building up.
Yeah, it was a pretty, I mean, overall, kind of, I'd say the episode didn't do much for me other than the very end with is it Arya? Is that the little girl's name?
Arya, yeah.
Yeah, her and the hound.
That was fucking awesome. Maybe I'll take two chickens. I'll take all the chickens.
That was great.
That was an awesome scene. And then her.
Yeah, I think this next episode should be pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. I feel like this entire season, I'm going to just fucking hate watching every time Sansa's on screen being a little, oh, woe is me. I don't
know.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm like, I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, whatever, fine. That makes me hopeful that I'm not going to feel that way, because right now I'm worried that that's going to be the case. I've never really liked her, though.
Yeah, neither have I.
Maybe she gets killed. Maybe that's what you're hinting at. Good riddance.
Well,
or maybe she kills Joffrey. Good riddance. Yeah. Whatever.
Mm.
Honestly, I don't even care.
I don't know. Yeah, but it was just a definitely filler show. There wasn't much going on. But this season, there's going to be a lot of shit that happens this season.
Oh, yeah.
So, we'll see how
we have things are heating up. We still have the blue wedding, the yellow wedding, the green wedding. A lot more weddings.
Yeah, there's definitely some weddings coming. Anyway, moving on to books and comics and stuff. So I finally broke down after watching Captain America, and I ordered a subscription to Marvel Unlimited. And have you guys heard of this? I'm sure you guys have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what is it exactly? I've heard of it, but I really don't
Okay, so basically it's a subscription service. You download an app on your phone, or you can read it on your computer or your iPad or whatever. And for $10 a month, you get unlimited access to over 13,000 Marvel comic books, PDFs, that you can read at any time. You can download up to 12 of them to store on your phone if you're offline and stuff like that. So I've kind of gone through and I've read some series here and there, because I've never been a big comic book guy. And I've kind of been interested in certain things. So I kind of read through like the main issues of the Civil War. But that fucking series is so long. There's like
it is.
Every damn comic book is attached to this. So I'm kind of, I want to get into that. But I kind of started reading the Guardians of the Galaxy from 2008. And I like it quite a bit. So I haven't read it all yet. Because apparently it goes from 2008 to 2010. And then there's a new series that started last year, I guess, 2013, was like a limited run. And I read like the first issue of that, which told basically Star-Lord's background, how he came to be and stuff.
Star-Lord. It's like he should be in a glam rock band.
But I do love the fact that they make fun of him in the Guardians of the Galaxy comic book, too. They're like, Star-Lord? You mean somebody will call him Space-Lord? Or it's like, it's Star-Lord. So I'm excited for the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, man. I've watched that trailer a couple times now. It just looks really fun. It just looks like something totally different. So I'm hoping it'll be good. But yeah, I definitely recommend if you've never read many comic books and you want a way to read comic books without buying each copy individually digitally for $2, you can get all of them for like $10 and just download them. Like, it goes up to like 6 months from. 6 months ago is like a cutoff point. So every month they add more comics, but there's always that 6 month gap between now and what's out. So, you know, if you still want to see read the stuff that's new, you'll have to buy them or whatever. But, if you just want to read the back catalog, it's a damn good deal. And there's just so many comics to choose from. It's crazy. So,
yeah,
but
to get into that.
Yeah, it's really cool. And, you know, they've got the smart panels and stuff, so if you're looking on your phone, it makes it just like one whole panel. Which some comics, like the Guardians of the Galaxy, had to turn the smart panels off because it seems like it cut a lot of the dialogue off. But, I mean, and most of them, the smart panels will zoom in and out, so it kind of makes the print as big as possible. But then again, I'm on an iPhone, which is the tiniest screen imaginable for this kind of crap, so... anyway. But That's going to be it for that. The only news story that I had here that is Phil Spencer has been made the new head of Xbox Division.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, so we got a guy that's been in the company for, I think they said 25 years.
Yep.
And yeah. He's...
The guy who actually cares about games.
I think he's, you know, Sony loses Jack Tretton, we get our own kind of Jack Tretton.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I think it means good things for Xbox One.
It
so.
Makes me much more interested to see what happens at E3 now for Microsoft.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And You know, I think Xbox got humbled quite a bit this generation already. So maybe this is a good thing. I'm sure this is a good thing, and we got somebody that's. It was funny because I don't know what interview I was reading about, but he was like doing an interview, and he tried to say gaming so many times that they thought it was like, oh my god, it's like he's trying to make up for saying they were trying to say TV back when they did the original announcement a year ago. That's been a year. It's amazing how things change in a year.
Yeah, in a year, I have lost all interest in Watch Dogs. Don't give a shit about it.
Yeah,
me too.
You guys, no.
I'm with you. Yeah.
That visual downgrade, hell no.
I don't think it's as visually downgraded. Have you seen
the videos I've seen.
Have you seen the new Welcome to Chicago trailer?
I don't know if that was the last one or whatever. The last one I saw, which was like one of the most recent one at that point, it looked really bad.
Are you talking about the one with the car that's jumping over the bridge and all that crap?
Yeah. I think there was one after that too.
I think we need to wait until that game's out before we can make judgment on that game.
Well,
that last trailer they showed looked amazing. Did you see the Welcome to Chicago one, Ridge?
Yeah.
I think that game's gonna be awesome.
I don't know. I'm kind of with Kush. I'm hoping that it surprises me and it's really awesome, but I don't have much faith in it, to be honest with you.
We'll see. It can't be any worse of a representation of Chicago than Seattle was in Infamous. And thank God, I'm like, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe just the monorail's off. But I was listening to the CADcast, and Shipwreck was saying the same thing. He goes, the monorail doesn't do that. There's no monorail around the city. There's just a monorail from one point at Westlake to the one point at the Space Needle. And I'm like, yeah, I think it's exactly what he said. It's like they took the Space Needle and put it in a city they made up that looked kind of like Seattle. So,
in other words, there was no reason for them to call it Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. They wasted a lot of time and effort trying to name it. They paid money to put the Space Needle in there, apparently, because when you start the game up, it says right there, Space Needle LLC, you know, with rights paid for the Seattle Space Needle. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Just don't fucking have the Space Needle. And if you want to make it a Northwest city, then just make one up. Yeah. Do what Alan Wake did. Pacific Northwest. Boom. You done. Yep. So, does anybody else have any news? I can't remember anything that's happened this week. It seems like there was something else that happened, but.
A whole bunch of stuff happened.
Yeah.
What else happened? Somebody bring some shit up. I don't know
because I don't care.
Oh, I guess they announced some DLC coming out for Titanfall.
Oh, yeah.
That pack.
Wow, that game just kind of dropped off my radar. I went back to play it for a couple hours, or like an hour the other day, and I was kind of like, yeah, I'm good.
I'm having a lot of fun with it still.
At the PAX East panel they had for Titanfall, they said that room was 30% full.
Are they?
That doesn't bode well.
Hmm.
But then again, you know, PAX East is probably built up of the gaming community, and a lot of them are jaded assholes that are so against the Xbox One they can't see their ass from a hole in the ground. So
Amazon purchased Comixology. That's
huge.
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense. And it makes me a lot more. I don't know if I'm still interested, but I'm not as worrisome about Comixology as a platform and as far as sticking around.
Their long-term viability,
I have a lot more confidence in.
Here's the funny thing. Some dumbasses on the interwebs are going, oh, I don't think this is a good thing. Now they can make fucking Comixology exclusive to the Kindle platform. I'm like, the fact that the fucking Kindle platform exists on your fucking iPhone is the reason why this will never happen. That's the most retarded fucking thing ever.
It's on Windows Phone, too. It's on all the phones.
It's on everything.
Yeah. Fuck, you can get it on your computer. You don't need a fucking Kindle.
What I would love is that if this was a sign of color e-ink Kindles coming, because I would kill for a like 9.7-inch color e-ink with great battery life. That would be an amazing comic reader.
I kind of want a Kindle Fire. Oh, no. I don't want to spend enough money. I don't want to spend money enough to get an iPad.
Well, I'd also look into the Nexus 7.
Yeah, that's another one I heard.
The Kindle Fire, you will be forced to use the Amazon Marketplace. They don't have the Google.
I didn't know that.
App Store on there.
That.
Yeah, yeah,
it is. That's why I would not get one.
Yeah, because I got Tommy a Kindle for Christmas 1 year. It's I was like really disappointed with that. I'm like, oh, I can check out some of these apps. I'm like, nope, just the Kindle apps. I'm like,
see, I did not realize I got a Kindle, yep. But I didn't ever realize I just got one of the old Kindles for reading books. So
yeah,
maybe I just need to give me a Nexus 7 then, because they're like $200. So anyway.
And also,
so yeah.
I think Amy Henning, that her new job. I don't think that happened.
Visceral,
before. Yeah,
yeah, Visceral, yeah.
Star Wars,
yeah,
that could be cool.
Oh, and they announced the Last of Us remastered for PS4, the worst kept secret in gaming, and it's gonna come with the DLC. I'll probably pick that up at some point because I would like to go through that game and just look at how that game would look. In whatever frame rate it'll be, because I like that. I like the look of that game. I love the visuals in that game, but to play that game again, I don't know if I could do it. So I definitely probably won't pay $60 for it, unless there's just like nothing else out at the time it comes out.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I guess that'll be it for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Kush, pluggity plugs.
PixelatedSauces.com. I'm going through some changes, which is why the quiet on the site is going to be, like, this sounds way bigger than it is actually going to be, but the Pixelated Network will be a thing, and I'll talk more about it when everything's ready to go. There are other things in the back end, and that also
Wait,
means...
when you say the Pixelated Network, do you mean like a radio stream or something, or what?
I just said I will get to the details when things are ready. Don't fucking ask me questions, you stupid ass.
You would
forget
think
it.
Pacific,
would
not Atlantic.
Something.
Come on, man. Get your head out of your ass.
Forget it. And because of that question, Geekswood has just been kicked off the network.
That's never even started.
So that's some less work for me to have to do, which I was going to be doing. But I won't have to do that anymore. I'm on Twitter at Kush3. Instagram mkush, Xbox Live PX Sausage, PSN. Who gives a shit? Let me change it, you sons of bitches.
Hear that? That's a $400 deal right there. You let him change his name, he'll buy a PS4.
Yep. Frontburner.net, FrontBurner.com. Go there. .net. See, look at this. Everything's all screwed up. Check out some other great podcasts like the Sign In Podcast at signinpodcast.com. And kicking out at 2. I'm just kicking out the at symbol and the number 2.
Oh, that is something, too. I did see that Sony had sent out a survey last... They actually did last week, and one of the things on there, what would you like to see? One of them was being able to change your name.
I know. That's
so,
why I brought it up.
I forgot
about
that.
I was talking
Kush
about.
Put that on there.
So, anyway, Rich, what do you want to plug, buddy?
Sports Car Unleashed. The website and the show, the podcast, and
scunleashed.com.
Yep.
And now you know.
The more you know.
And if you want to play racing games with me or Titanfall, if you're not done with Titanfall, friend me, man. We'll play together. Rolex DP Racer. That's it.
And if you don't want to play racing games with him, you can play racing games with his Drivatar.
Yeah. Which is, he's amazing.
Yeah, Steven said he was playing Forza and he sees your damn racer in there all the time. And he's like, damn, he's good at that game.
Yeah, I see his too.
Is he like running into walls? And?
No, actually sometimes he's pretty aggressive, man.
That sounds about right. All right, well, I'm Henderson Man on everything. Listen to Double XP Podcast with Big Steven. Find it on Facebook and Mike Onion Knight Kistler. So, anyway, guys, everybody have a good night.